What's up? I have a question for you. So, do you think that we should perceive time more as a linear phenomenon or as a cyclical phenomenon? What's your opinion? Thank you and have a nice time.
Hello, this is Checkmate. Over to you. Time for your questions and inquiries. So this question is an outstanding, amazing, and a very brief question for a very, very complicated answer. I've read so many books and had so many debates about the nature of time, as we have, as have we all, I suppose. Going back to the cyclical nature of time, it doesn't seem that time to me returns. It, on the contrary, I don't think there is a way of going back to the same place. So, for example, when I leave Prague and I come back in 2 days, I'm not coming back to Prague. It's not even the same spot. I mean, our Earth is turning around its own axis, then it's spinning around the sun. And that takes about 365 days in a little each year. And then our sun is spinning around the center of the Milky Way. Our Milky Way is spinning around Lanakea, and our Lanakea is spinning around the local cluster, and it goes and on, goes and on, and on and on. And then the whole universe is expanding. And not only is it expanding, but it's expanding at a expanding rate. It's speeding up. The party, so to speak, is only beginning. So the speed at which we are moving right now, even though it seems that everything around you may be still, and if you look at the trees, maybe the leaves are not even moving. But if you drop a coin, it falls directly underneath. It's completely oblivious to the whirlwind in which we are. So from this point of view, you're not returning back to the same place. It's been somewhere else. Prague has moved millions and billions of kilometers and light years since your 2 days visit 2 days ago. Economically, this is extremely important because we have synchronized time on this planet. Our time, we use the same units. I mean, just mark that we have different measures for distances. We have feet in United Kingdom and in United States of America. We use meters in on continental Europe. We have different pounds and kilos. We have different liters and gallons. And electricity is somewhere 220, somewhere it's 110. Even the plugs don't fit. I mean, my phone probably won't fit your charger. My old phone would not fit my new charger, etc., etc. We're not very compatible. We are very much localized, even though we are becoming connected as a planet. And one of the first things, one of the first signs of civilization type one, a planetary connected civilization, this is something that I talk about quite a lot and think about quite a lot, is that we have things synchronized. And time has been synchronized, and it's been synchronized for a long time. So in every corner of the world, the day has 24 hours, and every hour has 60 minutes, and 100 seconds, and milliseconds go then in decimal, in the tenfolds. So not only have we coordinated the duration of time, we have also coordinated something very spectacular, and that is the rhythm of the week. And the rhythm of the week is very artificial. It didn't have to be so. I mean, of course, there is the rhythm of the day and night. There is the rhythm of the seasons that all cultures experience. But the rhythm of the week, that it has 7 days and that it has 7 days everywhere, is actually, I think, quite remarkable. And it must have been a lot of disputes. And if you turn into Genesis or the Hebrew tradition, there is very much emphasis on the 7 day week. I mean, there were other competing weeks. We've had 10 day weeks, and we had hours that were different. I mean, Babylonians had hours that was it now 10 hours a day or 12 hours a day, 12 hours a night. So during the summer, your day hours were longer and your night hours were shorter, and vice versa during the winter. And it created somewhat of a confusion. And these incompatible systems like Mac OS and Microsoft operating system or Linux or Android or the ones that we had Symbian on Nokia phones or there was I think a different system on Blackberries as well. No, there was. They have not been made completely compatible, and but time has, and I've heard from a good theologian friend of mine an interesting sentence that other nations were conquering space and the Hebrews were conquering time, and they conquered time with the story of creation, where the 6 + 1 7-day rhythm was crucial. If you read the book of Sirach, it's all about Shabbat, Shabbat, Shabbat here and Shabbat there. Shabbat was extremely interesting as a symbol of the Jewish religion and also of the Jewish nature. They take it very seriously in Israel these days. There, the Shabbat starts on Friday evening and ends on Saturday evening. So technically speaking, your Saturday evening is already Sunday. But this synchronization was of course extremely important in our way of being able to share certain values, and this value of time is the most elusive of all the measures. I mean, you can very much imagine a meter. You can play with the meter, you can go back and forth, you can tilt it, you can turn it. The same you can do with weights. With time, the most elusive of all the metastructures, so to speak, is ironically the one that has already been synchronized across this planet. So to your question, whether I conceive time in a linear or in a cyclical way, of course I conceive it sort of in a linear way. I feel that it's a river that goes from I don't know where to I don't know where. There's a very famous passage of St. Augustine's Confessions where he starts one chapter with, I know what time is until somebody asks me what it is, and then I don't know. I don't know from whence it flows and to where it flows. It just sort of flows from non-existing future into a non-existing past, because the future has not yet been and the past has already been. So none of it exists. The future doesn't really exist in the same way that the present exists, and the same goes for the past. Now, what is the duration of the present? Well, he comes to the conclusion that the present has no duration, because if there was a duration, it would immediately divide itself into future and past. So here we are, sort of in between two big stones that don't exist, the future and the past. So I take time as droplets that learn from each other. This is the way that Alfred North Whitehead reads time. And but also I do take it in a circular way, and I think we all do, because of the rhythm of the week, for example. Just imagine how your life would look like without the helping superstructure of the week. The week does not exist. There are no Monday days, there are no Tuesday days, there is nothing Tuesday about Tuesday, and there's nothing Sunday about Sunday. But then again, the days do feel different exactly because they are Sundays. And sometimes during really good and long holidays, you are in this complete bliss where you forget that that what day it is, because it doesn't matter if it's Monday or Sunday or Saturday or Tuesday or Thursday. And today a friend of mine texted me that the worst thing that can happen to you on Sunday is to realize that it's already Monday. So in this way, we are circular, because all Mondays sort of look alike, and all Tuesdays look alike, and all Saturday evenings look alike, and all Sunday mornings look alike. And we structure our life according this. And this has also been the rhythm of a dance, and the oldest artificial dance, a rhythm which we've made, to which we dance from the beginning of time. It's like work, 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 rest. Work, 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 rest. So we've been dancing this very slow seven-tact rhythm since time immemorial. We've been sort of, a rhythm doesn't have to be necessarily a fast dancing rhythm. This is a very slow, and still it is, a dancing rhythm. So that's for time. Time is, to me, what I've described, and I tried to cram it in these 10 minutes, of which I still have a little bit left, which is funny. When I was a small boy, I was always angered when the adults would say that they don't have time. I thought, what a strange thing, because time is really a communist sort of a idol, because everyone has the same amount of time. And just, you know, the saying, I don't have time. I didn't understand this. As a child, you have the infinite amount of time, and that's why you can play with everything so deep and so well. And this is also, I think, a very significant part of philosophy and perhaps of thinking and meditation, is to actually get out of the FOMO and get out of the pressure of things that don't exist in the future. And to be able to levitate away from this time altogether and try to imagine a situation where the time doesn't actually flow, which is something that I hear happens in the vicinity of black holes, that time becomes so firm that it behaves like space, and space becomes so liquid that it behaves like time. And in fact, I hear that our colleagues, theoretical physicists, swap the equations. They swap time for space and space for time and continue with the calculations. So I hope you will enjoy a little bit of timelessness, which we enjoy in the moments of ecstasy, is that when we forget about the duration of time. And time can also flow differently. If you want to save time, close everything down and just think. Or be alone, the 5 minutes will seem like a half an hour. This has been your checkmate on time, cyclical versus linear.